is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Pakistan, the subcontinent. Pakistan has, I am informed by the former ambassador Hussein Haqqani, now at the Hudson Institute, not one crisis, not two crises, but three crises simultaneously. First, the floods that came in this last season that left half the population without food security and damaged the future of the agricultural base of Pakistan. And then there's the crisis of what you'd have to say terror, ongoing terror, despite the apparent Taliban establishment in Kabul. The Taliban of Pakistan continues its terrorist attacks, most notably at the end of January, a mosque bombing that killed more than 100, I believe, and it was especially targeted at the national police. Nothing to do with terror. This is order in Pakistan. And then I followed the ambassador's reporting. We have a political crisis because Imran Khan, the previous prime minister, continues to foment disorder on mass media and in the news. Mr. Ambassador, a very good day to you. Beg pardon for these crises, but they overwhelm. So I'd like you to describe each of them and where we are. The flooding, the Pakistani Taliban and their attacks, and then Imran Khan challenging the prime minister. Good day to you.
Good day, John. Let me begin by talking first about the economic crisis, which goes beyond the flooding. Of course, the flooding aggravated Pakistan's crisis, as you said, destroying the agricultural base, rendering a lot of people homeless, destroying a lot of cattle, and a lot of infrastructure. But Pakistan has had an economic problem for many, many years. Pakistan lives primarily on borrowed money. It borrows from Peter to pay Paul. A few years ago, there was a fantasy that Chinese investment in Pakistan's infrastructure will somehow improve Pakistan's economy. Pakistan now owes China several billion dollars. 25% of Pakistan's national debt is now held by China. China is not willing to give Pakistan any debt relief. So that makes Pakistan totally dependent on external borrowing. The Pakistani elite lives on a lot of imports. The country's exports have not been increasing. As a result, now Pakistan faces a major balance of payments crisis. It has to pay about $8 billion. And that's what it's been trying to reach out to raise, to try and get some money from the International Monetary Fund. This will be Pakistan's 23rd borrowing from the International Monetary Fund. So it's a bit like Argentina, which continues to go to the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, for emergency relief. It's like somebody who keeps going to intensive care unit in the hospital again and again. And so Pakistan has that economic crisis. Negotiations with the IMF are stalled. Because they are stalled, other bilateral donors are not willing to give large amounts of money to Pakistan as well. Or everybody who lends money wants to know how will you pay them back. Second part of the crisis, of course, is terrorism. Now, terrorism and the economic crisis are intimately linked. Pakistan's economy did very well until Pakistan got deeply involved in sponsoring certain terrorist groups while joining the United States and suppressing others. If you remember, during the 1980s, Pakistan joined with the United States in helping the jihad against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. When the Soviet Union left Afghanistan, Pakistan decided that it's going to use the same strategy to try and win Kashmir from India. And so after that, a lot of groups were allowed to operate with impunity to try and weaken India. Subsequently, Pakistan decided it wanted influence in Afghanistan and used the same strategy. So all these jihadi groups congregated in Pakistan, including Al-Qaeda. After 9/11, Pakistan went after Al-Qaeda, but it still supported the Taliban. The Taliban ended up creating a Pakistani version called the Pakistani Taliban. And the Pakistani Taliban say, if it is good to fight in the name of God to establish an Islamic emirate in Afghanistan, it is equally important to create an Islamic Emirate in Pakistan. And so now they are mounting terrorist attacks in Pakistan. And lastly, John, Pakistan has now a former prime minister, Imran Khan, who was helped into power by the military, but now is standing up not only to the military, but also to the judiciary, refusing to play by any rules, and is constantly threatening chaos. His supporters, for example, do not allow police to serve warrants on him for ongoing corruption cases, etc. And he refuses to come into parliament as well, demanding immediate elections, which he thinks he will win because he's very popular. So the country has an economic crisis, it's under threat from the terrorists, and it has a political deadlock because one party with maybe one third of political support will not play by any constitutional or other rules.
If I understand correctly in your analysis, we need to talk about something that happened many decades ago, the partition after the Second War, and the separation of Pakistan at that time, Pakistan and East Pakistan, now Bangladesh, from India. And there was mass crisis across the world, but especially in India, many people dead, disorder for a long time. And then it focused on an area called Kashmir, which remains unresolved. And I learned from your essay in Foreign Policy that Kashmir was the predicate for the formation of what we now regard as terrorist acts, terrorist groups, not the least of being Taliban. Is that correct, Mr. Ambassador? In order to defend itself and from the potential attack of India in Kashmir, and in order to settle the Kashmir problem, Islamabad created a monster that grew and grew until it turned on Islamabad.
That is more or less correct, John. Look, the partition was based on religion. The Muslim majority areas becoming Pakistan, the non-Muslim majority or Hindu majority areas of the Indian subcontinent that was ruled by the British at that time becoming India. Kashmir was a region that was that abutted both Pakistan and India, had a Muslim majority, had a Hindu prince. The prince wanted to join India. There were Muslims. Some Muslim leaders wanted to join Pakistan. Other Muslim leaders said, we would rather be part of a secular India. Pakistan, soon after coming, getting independence and coming into being, there was no Pakistan before. It was a new country. Its leaders decided to go to war to try and take over Kashmir. Kashmir got divided. The UN imposed a ceasefire, 1948. Since then, Pakistan has been pressing India to either hold some kind of a referendum in Kashmir and let the people vote, or give Kashmir to Pakistan. Pakistan has fought several wars with India over this. And then, after failing to defeat India militarily and after the loss of East Pakistan, which became Bangladesh in 1971, Pakistan's strategy has been to try and support some kind of militant options inside Kashmir, supporting jihadis who are also terrorists. Now, when the war against the Soviets was fought, the Americans backed the jihad. And that gave the Pakistanis great encouragement that if the Americans can funnel arms and training to people who can make the Soviet Union leave Afghanistan, surely we can do the same to India. They haven't succeeded, but what it has done is it has poisoned relations between Pakistan and India. It has earned Pakistan a bad name throughout the world, and it has fomented terrorism inside Pakistan as well. And in a country where there have been terrorist attacks going back all the way to the early 90s, it's very difficult to attract foreign direct investment. It's very difficult to have stability. And the Pakistani society has also become very polarized, with some people supporting radical Islamism, which the government in the beginning allowed to actually rise because they thought it's a good idea to have some radical Islamist option for dealing with India and also for trying to increase Pakistan's influence inside Afghanistan in the form of the Taliban.
I'm speaking with Hussain Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, addressing where we are right now in a triple crisis in Pakistan. And when we come back, what is to be done? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.